ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter number 9 and Text number 10. This chapter is describing the passing away of Śrīla Bhīṣma Dev. So yesterday's verse was introduction of Bhīṣma Dev. Bhishma Dev, who was the best amongst the eight Vasus, received and welcomed all the great and powerful rishis who were assembled there, for he knew perfectly all the religious principles according to the time and place. Bhishma Pitama is lying on the bed of errors, and he was given a benediction by his father that his death will come upon his desire. Whenever Bhishma Pitama will desire to leave the body, he will able to. That is a very amazing fact. It is called in Sanskrit Ichhavarti Mrityu. Ichhavarti Mrityu. Khatwang Maharaj also had that ability to leave his body on the desire. But he did not know when it will come. But he, because he was pure devotee, you know, he was fighting on behalf of the demigods against the demons. And demigods were very pleased that he was rendering such a selfless, service. So the Benedictine ask, what do you want? We can fulfill your desire. Said, my dear sir, I just want to know when my death will come. And the rishis and the demigods and everybody saw, doesn't have any time left. And it says, in 1 second. And that was enough for Khatwang Maharaj to concentrate his attention on the lotus feet of the Lord, and he went back to God instantly. So Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is a process that you can become Krishna conscious in 1 second, or you may take a long life, even or several lives, to become Krishna. If we do not have desire, then we may not become Krishna conscious. But if one is acquainted with Krishna consciousness and he does not know when his demise will be, still he has to serve the devotees and keep connection with Krishna through the devotees. Demigods are devotees. They want to fight against the demons in order to keep the welfare of all the people in general, all the living entities in general, and they want to benedict Khatwang Maharaj. If Krishna can benedict, devotees can also benedict. So we beg the mercy of the devotees, because they are available. Krishna is not available. So why not? So this is the system. So here, Bhishma Pitama, he was benedicted by his father because he sacrificed his own desires to fulfill the desire of his father that he will never marry. So there is no question of begetting children and they can compete for the throne after him. So, whatever may come, Bhishma Pitama had to tolerate so much inconveniences about that he kidnapped three daughters of Kashiraj just to get his brother Vichitravira to get married with them. Alright? And Vichitravira passed away. And Bhishma Pitama, who held the hands of the three girls, you know, the girls told, now you are our husband because you held our hand. And Bhishma Pitama says, no way. I brought all of you to get married with my brother. So, for that he was cursed. Ambika cursed, I will come and kill you. So, no matter. Come, I'm not afraid of death. Because he received this benediction from his father. So, a person well-versed in the Vedic knowledge and even in the bed of arrows, all the arrows in the fight, they were, all over his body. And when he fell, somehow or another, the arrows held him from the... Can you imagine if you are underneath the point of one particular nail or a little pin, you get disturbed. But when all over your body, from the back side, front side, everywhere the arrows are there, how would you tolerate? And you have to bear your own weight on those pins. So bed of arrows are a very precarious situation for the bodily conception of life. People cannot tolerate even little pinpoint of a little pin, what to speak of bed of arrows. But yet Bhishma Pitama has his composure in the religious principles. He is greeting all the great, Maharathis like Pandavas and Rishis, and everybody came because, Krishna came with the Pandavas. And because his desire was to see Lord Krishna in the form of 400 Vishnu, who was his boss. Now, so in that yesterday's verse, you have seen that Bhishma Dev, who was the best amongst the eight Vasus. There are eight Vasus. Vasus are directly engaged in, they are demigods, but they are engaged in maintaining the material affairs of the entire cosmic manifestation. Now they are being coming to take part in the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna. And Bhishma Pitama, completely he was in a very negative side, but yet he was a pure devotee. He knew Krishna. So never mind, a devotee is sent to fight even against Krishna, there is a leela. So that was the kind of role Bhishma Pitama has to put through, very inconvenient. Even though he loved Pandavas, but he cannot favor him. And even though he doesn't speak
the opposite party like Duryodhana knew, and he was taunting Bhishma Pitamaha. I know you love Pandavas more than me. So I don't trust you. Even the commander in chief, Bhishma Pitamaha, he said, I don't trust you. You have soft corner for them, so you are not going to kill. So he was inciting Bhishma Pitamaha against his, this forced war upon him by insulting him. One can resign simply by little provocation of an insult, but here Bhishma Pitamaha's character is very, very unique. These characters are nowhere to be found, nowhere to be understood even. In the histories of ages, this happened about 5,000 years back, and we don't have any parallel within even 5,000 years. So the idea is that introduction to Bhishma Pitamaha as one of the, chief of Vasus, best amongst the Vasus. He received and welcomed all the great and powerful rishis who were assembled there, for he knew perfectly all the religious principles according to the time and place. Another character of Bhishma Pitamaha is that Bhishma Pitamaha gave instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj how to carry on the duties of an ideal king. Would you learn anything from your enemy? But he was not an enemy, he was the well-wisher of Pandava, yet he was an enemy on the other side. And Arjuna has to shoot all the arrows in Bhishma Pitamaha's body. What a precarious situation. Can you imagine by your own material sentiments? But nonetheless, it was fact. So, today's verse is Krishnam cha tat prabhavagya asinam jagadishwaram radistham pujayamasa mayayaopatta vigraham. Krishna, unto Lord Krishna, cha also, tat of him, prabhavagnya, the knower of the glories, is Bhishma. Krishna's glories are known by Bhishma. Asinam, sitting, Jagadishwaram, the Lord of universe, Radhistham, situated in the heart, Pujayamasa, worshipped. Mayaya, by internal potency, Uppatta, manifested, Vigraham, a form. Translation. Lord Shri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev. And since Bhishma Dev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. And the purport Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord's omnipotency is displayed by his simultaneous presence in every place. His presence always in the eternal abode Golok Vrindavan, and still he is present in everyone's heart and even within the invisible atom. When he manifests his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. The external potency or this material energy has nothing to do with his eternal form. All these truths are known to Srila Bhishma Dev, who worshipped him accordingly. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Kita Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha
Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Shri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishnam cha tat prabhavagya asinam jagadishwaram radhistham pujayamasa mayayo pakta vigraham.
Lord Shri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev, and since Bhishma Dev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. How did he worship? He was lying on the bed of arrows. And Bhishma Pitama is worshipping through the mind, through his consciousness. He is in control of himself. He is beyond the effect of the three modes of material nature himself. So a pure devotee never comes under influence of the three modes of material nature. And aspiring devotees are targeted only on this instruction. If you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you follow four regulative principles, this should be the event. You have to become free from the bodily conception of life. If not, then our sadhana is very mild. It should be tivra, very, very acutely performed. So, Krishna gives opportunities to everyone in their lives. Everybody gets this opportunity. When the age of retirement comes, don't you think that's an opportunity to become free from bodily conception of life? If a person who is about to die, here Bhishma Pitama, and yet he is so much conscious of this, he has achieved the highest goal of life, of even in material existence. The internal potency which is exposed through the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we have to perceive it. We have to target that. Am I getting purified or not by chanting? There may be several stages of purification, never mind. But those who are knowing and emergency comes, they can easily take shelter of the Lord because the opportunity is there. Who will miss it unless one is attached to the material conception of life? So therefore, devotional service to Lord Krishna is always clarified on this basis that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyasu Jnanam Vairagyam Chat Ahetukam. If one is a sincere devotee,
and performing devotional service to Lord Krishna. Then two concomitant factors should manifest: ahituki jnana and vairagya. This is the measure of devotion. Unless and until a transcendental knowledge which situates itself at the lotus feet of the Lord, even through internal meditation, what to speak of external? External has no significance. Importance is to develop internal meditation, internal service, internal devotional service, which cannot be interrupted. Physically, the limits of material energies are there. You cannot perform all the devotional service in invalidity. Bhishma Pitama became invalid totally. So never mind, but develop internal meditation. Internal meditation means you never take away your attention. You have cultivated your sadhana, your services, everything so much to tune up with Lord Krishna's presence. So you have securely locked up Lord Krishna in your heart, that he will never get out. Internal meditation. Gopis were acting on the basis of internal meditation, not on external thinking. But they were conscious of these externalities and what they will be, chastised by their husbands or grandfathers and elderly that they are living. Doesn't matter. You may remain conscious of it, but you ignore it. Who the hell cares? Krishna is calling. We will go. It is Krishna's calling. And Christians call that internal calling. It's called internal calling. But regardless, to sustain this at the time of death, it's very much disturbing. Kavi Kulashekhar is telling Prabhupada like this slokas, because we think we have to be practical, you know, even while we are in the bodies. But still there is an opportunity to pray to the Lord in such a fashion that, my dear Lord, right now I am Krishna conscious. Right now my mind is acting like a swan twirling its neck and performing its danglings with the lotus of your lotus feet. Lotus of the lotus feet. Please take me away now. Krishna tvadiya padapankaja panjarante adaiva vishatume manasa raja hansa prana prayana samaye kaphavata pittaye kanthavarodhan smaranam kutaste. Because in our physical experience we see people die, and they die miserably, because at the time of death this kapha, pitta and vayu, they are the three elements of composition of the body. They will choke your throat when the prana is coming out. So in such a horrible state of misery, how will I be able to remember you? Better take me now. And now is all the time, now. Even now has passed and became then, doesn't matter. Still now is hanging on as long as you breathe. So It's not an incidental situation that we have to live day by day, but live like as if it's your last day. You know, live by. And this is in Bible, but Quran is also asserting, oh, you have to become detached of your desires before you die. So die before you die. The principles are there intact for the purpose, but they do not have a system to develop the love of God and serve Him favorably for the benefit of all. Conversion is not a methodology to give the benefit. It's not automatic. Where is the sadhana? The tradition of churches being empty and being on sale. We never hear in India that temple is on sale. Have we? People want to occupy temple. Even simply just to continue the faith. Otherwise they will make money on it. It's an option. But the government is taking over all the temples, and so they can get the money from those who want to occupy. They also see if some crores of rupees are given for a dilapidated temple, government says, okay, you are qualified, because they will be benefited. They can allot lands, hectares of land government gives away, but with a bribe. And people, purchase for making their ashrams, but nothing for the welfare of poor and downtrodden. They can occupy so much. And every government has been corrupt. So the point is, the cardinal principles of remembering at the time of death, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only thing. Satatam smartavyam Vishnu. Vismartavyam na jatu chit sarva vidhi nishedosyu etayor apikinkara. Any other processes you take in devotion, it is but subservient to the process of remembering the Lord. So, this is the critical time, and one has to develop the internal process of it, because you can't depend upon your physics, the material or mechanical processes. One has to become introspective. These are the real training that is required, and become sincere. Sincere means introspection. Serious means introspection. Nobody can become serious on mechanical process. It is an internal process. When a guru tells this disciple, okay, become serious now. He doesn't know what his seriousness means. He has to show. The seriousness is coming by becoming sincere. If sincerity towards the advancement in Krishna consciousness is not there, whatever efforts, they are not serious. So, both go together, sincerity and seriousness. Bhishma Pitama doesn't have any offshoot agenda. His Lord and Master was right in front of him sitting. So his attention, even after greeting the great sages who came, because Krishna and Pandavas
came to see him off. But Krishna has so much to accomplish through this incident. Through Bhishma Pitama, the duties of the king in the ideal manner. So Rajadharma will be taught. So this is the important situation in front of us to understand so many nitty-gritty stuff that we have to cultivate in our process of devotional service. And so Krishna's nature, Bhishma Pitama knows. Srila Prabhupada writes, the omnipotency of the Lord is displayed by His simultaneous presence in every place. He is present always in His eternal abode, Golok Vrindavan. And still He is present in everyone's heart and even within every invisible atoms. Omnipresence. So, in any condition, if one who has realized the omnipresence aspect of the Lord will understand, or will be conscious when he's passing his life, he will be remembering, never forgetting. When he manifests his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. Internal potency is understood with three features: eternality, full of knowledgeability, and blissful. This is the total composition of internal potency. Existential potency is called Sandhini potency. Chit potency is the knowledge acquiring potency through which Krishna is all knowledgeable. And bliss potency, Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. The total embodiment of the three transcendental potencies is called Krishna. As a part and parcel, we should also have this potency prominent. But no. It is so much hidden. In reality, it is overpowered by the opposition of the potency. And these opposite potencies are Sattva, Raja and Tama. It means in our devotional service we have to come out from the effect of the three, not only one or two, all the three, because all the three have different effects that keep us in the material world. The internal potency is to be invoked, but on our own, it is impossible. Prabhupada says, we have to be connected with the source of this potency of eternality, full knowledgeability and bliss. We have to connect with it and derive this potency to nurture our potency, to expand our knowledgeability, our blissful experience, our eternal experience. And we have to become 100%. Prabhupada said, if you put your finger in the plug, you will be electrocuted. The energy or the potency which is passing through the electricity, it will make you a good conductor, and anybody touches you, you will also pass through. So, but we have to have always put our finger. If you take out, so material life is detaching ourselves from internal potency and attaching ourselves with the material potency. It's a willful, indulgence. Willful. It's not unwillingly that we have chose this. It is willful.
Iccha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sambhoham sarge anti parandapa.
Iccha, desire. The very first instrument of a living entity, because he is living, he has desire. But desire which is in competition of Krishna, which means you want to become equal or more than him, you want to replace him, that is dvesh. To become equal or independent. Therefore, even the demigods do not compete with Krishna, just like Brahma and Shiva. Their teachings are subservient to Lord Krishna. Why the hell this so-called mortal man is competing with Krishna? Where is he standing? Many gods are there. Anybody can become God. Oh no, no, they are equal. He must be out of his mind. There's no proof that they can ever give that man can become God. He is godly because he is part and parcel of God. But he is not God. One can be godly, but godly does not replace God. So there are several terms Srila Prabhupada has coined. Supreme Personality of Godhead means he is the served God. But a pure devotee is in close association with him. He is also divine, just like Bhishma Pitama. Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to learn so many things, how to conduct his activities ruling the whole earth. Such education is coming from a very godly personality, but both are coming in face to face. Krishna is sitting in front of Bhishma Pitama. But Krishna's total configuration is Sachidananda Vigraha. But Bhishma Pitama's configuration is not Sachidananda Vigraha, but he has achieved this qualitative oneness. And therefore, he shows his subservient nature. That even though in physical incapacity, he still worships the Lord in his mind. How is he worshipping? The Lord is right in front of him, but he is physically incapacitated. And why the Lord has appeared in front of him, we never see any other interaction of Bhishma Pitama with Lord Krishna directly. Even though he has visited the Kauravas palace in Hastinapur, but yet the glories, because the devotees, Pandavas, were raised by Bhishma Pitama. And out of duty, he was raising internally, keeping the attention and well-wishing aspect of all the five Pandavas. Bhishma Pitama and Karna's interactions are not there. Actually, Karna was very competitive. Duryodhan knew that. Duryodhan put Karna as the commander-in-chief first and not Bhishma Pitama. He put on the top Dronacharya because he was the guru. So Dronacharya became the first commander, Karna became second, and Bhishma Pitama third. Third. When previous two passed away, then he had no choice but put Bhishma Pitama as commander. And while giving him this particular duty, Duryodhan warned him, "I am giving you very reluctantly this post. Now you have to lead our armies and become victorious, but watch out, do not become compassionate on the Pandavas." Yeah. And he was inciting every time and taunting Bhishma Pitama. So the climax comes when Bhishma Pitama was taunted last. "You know, you are not fighting against the Pandavas. I know why. But Kshatriya Dharma." Bhishma Pitama has to be taught about Kshatriya Dharma when he is, the topmost general now. But tell Duryodhan, out of enviousness, he was taunting him. Bhishma Pitama tolerated all the inconveniences and insults. But this time it was so much intensified that Bhishma Pitama spoke, "I will kill one Pandava today, otherwise I will lay my life." So Bhishma Pitama thought it was very important. He was internally meditating, "Lord Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, the time has come for you to prove that you are Bhaktavatsam. You will be very kind on me if I lay my life at your lotus feet. And this can only happen that you will have to come and save your dearmost friend Arjuna, because I am going to fight so severely, because I think this is it. I cannot exist anymore in this dual situation that I have to be taunted any time, every time, insulted. It's an aparad. It's an aparad. This guy is an aparadi. So without my sacrifice, he will never be killed. The two generals have died. I'm the third. I know my destination. But I want to fight to incite your anger in such by shooting arrows at Arjun so fiercely that you will have to bear them too." That's what is his prayer and readiness. He never went out of Krishna consciousness to show this chivalry. So even though it is a gauna rasa to interact with Krishna, chivalrousness, nonetheless, Krishna can reciprocate. To incite anger of Lord Krishna, a devotee can do.
And Krishna has to save his devotee by breaking his own promise and keeping the promise of Bhishma Pitama, upheld it. Krishna promised that he will not take up weapon. It means all the armies of Lord Krishna were on the side of Duryodhan because he asked for it. And then Krishna says, I'm going to just be a chariot driver of Arjuna. I'm not going to hold any weapon. But this day Bhishma Pitama fought so much furiously that Arjuna was in trouble. The worship of Bhishma Pitama is in fighting. At every shot of an arrow he was thinking of Krishna and he was hitting Krishna because Krishna was in front and Arjuna was behind him. The target was Arjuna, but in between only Krishna is there. So it is described beautifully in Srimad Bhagavatam that the arrows of Bhishma Pitama penetrated the transcendental body. Can you imagine transcendental body can be penetrated by an arrow? But yet it is said, and Krishna was not at all disturbed. Seemingly some blood was coming out from those wounds created by the arrow, but Krishna, you know, accepted as the kissings of the lover. This is the transcendental reciprocation. Even in chivalrous mood, Krishna can reciprocate. When Arjuna became really in danger, Bhishma Pitama was shooting the arrow so much fiercely, you know, Krishna has to give up his chariot, you know, and Arjuna was in more danger. But he ran with a broken wheel of a chariot, just like Sudarshan Chakra, to kill Bhishma Pitama. What an instant situation. Arjuna ran after Krishna and Bhishma Pitama gave up his weapon. My dear Lord, this is good enough. You took up a weapon just to kill me. You broke your promise that you will never take it. But you can do it. You are independent. Krishna's independent nature, Swarat nature, cannot be challenged. He may be acting like an ordinary prince or this, but no. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the interaction between Bhishma Pitama and Krishna, even though the mood was completely different, yet it exemplifies the transcendental nature of devotional service. Transcendental nature of devotional service. So, if one can meditate internally, Bhishma Pitama's meditation, even in fighting, was focused on Lord Krishna. And Krishna has to take so much time, 1.5 hours, to instruct Arjuna on the battlefield. And at last he was ready to fight on behalf of Krishna. But we did not see the intensity of the meditation of fighting and thinking of Krishna. Bhishma Pitama is the best example. Arjuna is not best example because he never showed us. He agreed. Philosophically, theoretically,
even practically became ready to fight after Krishna's instruction. But he never showed the example of thinking and fighting. It's Bhishma Pitama who gave us example of how to fight in Krishna consciousness. And nobody can imitate like this. But still, a very appropriate devotional service, even though in a subordinate mood or mellow, is being done. It may not be primary mellow, but it is subordinate. Krishna can reciprocate with all individuals all the time. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasa. Ye yatha tatha. Yatha and tatha. In the degree of our surrender to Krishna, prapadyante, Krishna is reciprocating in exactly the same degree. People have little habit. Yes, something to give as a donation, they keep loose change. Right? In Fiji, this practice is still there. There are many Indian tourist guides they bring to our temple, but they instruct the visitor, you should keep loose change. When you go, just put up a coin there. Coin may not have any value, but this practice is still there, which is not understood by them, but because they know it is carried, that they are supposed to give their whole life. Why only this token? People give little money. Here they put $1. In the aarti tray, you put up $1. But that's not offering. The real offering is one has to give his whole life. This is explained by Krishna himself in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. After killing Pralambasur, the calf demon, the Balaram killed, Krishna helped him, Krishna saying, Balaram bhaiya, let's go and take rest under the tree. So Balaram sat down, Krishna put his head in Balaram's lap, and was ready. Then he started immediately glorifying the beautiful tree, gives shadow and how much benevolent the tree is. That it is not living for itself. Paropakaraya jivanti vriksha. All the trees are living for the sake of benefit of others. Paropakara. What these human beings are doing? They have to learn. He said, the who are embodied in material life, it says, dehinam iha deheshu. The best occupation in a household life is to live for the sake of all living entities, not only for his wife and children. That's the instruction of ideal grahastha. Benefit of all. It is said that dehinam iha deheshu pranai arthai dhiya vacha archanam dehinam sada. The best welfare activity a human being can perform is nirnam iha deheshu prane arthe dhiya vacha archanam dehinam sada. He offers his prana, means the life. That is the first and foremost, if not artha, means money. If not, give his intelligence, dhiya, and serve the Lord. Otherwise, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can start from chanting Hare Krishna, and one has to rise for sacrifice. Then use your intelligence in positive service or favorable service to Krishna. Then again rise above, give money. People give money these days before even utilizing their intelligence. But their intelligence is, I have to give money. Otherwise they will take away everything. So I will start giving, so there will be a peace. Right? I will be secured. So they want to give money. Right? And devotees, whatever they get, they always glorify, you know, the donor. They make special arrangements for them. They won't say that what is hiding or what, they do not care. Right? But one who gives his entire life, because life belongs to Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna, a spirit soul. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are supposed to give everything. Means the whole life should be dedicated. We belong to Him. It's not that others do not belong to Him. No, they are voluntarily not understanding and they are casting others. But ignorance is no excuse, we know it. They will have to face Krishna's other energy, that is material energy, and she can humble them down. We are confident. But those who are voluntarily trying to understand and surrender to Krishna in different degrees, everything should be promoted. The whole idea is that everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasham idam sarvam. Even their bodies, their wife, children, everybody belongs to Lord Krishna. But it has to be very intelligently conducted, not blindly. So everybody will be benefited. So here, this manifestation of Lord Krishna in his internal potency was understood and worshipped through the internal potency of Bhishma Pitama, through his devotional service, has been quite a congenial situation. And we understand that this is the way to remain. Now, our potency, internal potency, which has not been developed, so we cannot remain congenial with Krishna's face, internal potency. So therefore, when we see or we try to understand any leela, that Krishna in his original form as Sachidananda Vigraha comes and takes part in leela that is visible, but he does so out of his internal potency. He is not subjugated to external potency of Maya. We are trying to understand the internal potency, cultivate, but it is not fully developed, so we are not fully surrendered to Krishna. But nonetheless, we end up acting with external potency. That is Maya. So there is a diametrically opposing situation. Right? But nonetheless, we have to come closer. They say, if you put one step forward, Krishna puts two steps forward. In your sincerity, as much you want to surrender, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So, Krishna is doing so by his internal potency. The external potency or material energy has nothing to do with his eternal form. All these truths were known to Srila Bhishma Dev, who worshipped him accordingly. Accordingly means internally. Physically, he was incapacitated. Arrows are stuck everywhere. How can he even move his hand? But he can move his mind from material to spiritual. So thank you very much. Anybody has any question? In sattva too.
Sattva also. So I was thinking sattva helps for good activities and Krishna consciousness. Why we have to...
Yes, according to Brahma, to execute any physical activity, one has to adopt mode of goodness. But mode of goodness can be alleviated, through the help of spiritual mode, which is chanting of Hare Krishna. One establishes himself. By subsiding mode of passion and ignorance, the rise of mode of goodness will be a conducive to your devotional service. That's okay. But that is not eternal. Your Swarupa is eternal. And it should not affect even mode of goodness, which has two resultant reactions. Acquisition of knowledge, hankering for knowledge, and happiness of the material world, not spiritual. So these two are aspiring most of the people to become, you know, religious. That is the purpose. They believe, so, but they may not act in mode of goodness at all. So characters of mode of goodness have been described, the effects also have been described. But it is a material mode. Mode of goodness is a material mode. And Brahma suggests, yes, for your practical purposes, you should establish your soul in the mode of goodness. So eat food in mode of goodness. But no, we are eating food in the mode of transcendence. That is prasadam. It's not only supposed to be cooked in mode of goodness, but offered with love and devotion, that makes it transcendental. Right? So, our progress in devotional service will be expedited, fast. Try to make everything devotional, means everything should be transcendental. If you offer, connect it with Krishna, it becomes transcendental. Right? Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever homage you offer, whatever charity you do, or whatever austerity you perform, offer everything to me. This is the demand. Demigods have not any demands. But still, because they are in charge, if you worship them, they will give you reciprocation through some material temporary benefits. But eternal benefit in our spiritual life,
this is the only way. Most of sadhus, mahatmas, even religions like Christianity and Islam even, they will not generally practice direct transcendental process. Righteousness means more of goodness. They won't develop, but at the same time promoting all the four prohibitions, promoting them. Officially through the tenets of religion is quite contrast to the purpose of transcendence. Most of the denominations, you know, they violate the four regulative principles everywhere because they are coming under the heavy modes of ignorance. Lord Buddha came to stop animal killing. And yet Buddhists are now meat eaters. If you are not a meat eater, you cannot become Buddhist. That's the rule now. So Kali can enter any religion and make it polluted. Hindu religion is most polluted. People are completely out of place. Hindu religion. But Vaishnavism is stuck with principles and purpose and achievable mode. And it will be taken up by those who are intelligent. Yajanti sumedasa. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement will be understood only and taken up by only those who have good intelligence left. More of goodness is welcome as long as our physical state is to be existing. Any other question? Yes, we have to discipline ourselves. This discipline of accepting the tenets of religion, physically also we have to do, and internally also we have to meditate. So awareness, consciousness will be created. It's not that, without controlling the externalism, we can be internal. But that means, while performing external activities, become internal. Do not give up. It's not a replacement. As long as you have the working senses intact, they are working. But Bhishma Pitama was totally immovable. So he has nothing but his own mind, all intelligence, and surrendered ego to Lord Krishna.
Another statement is that if you take one step toward Krishna, it takes more than one.
Krishna is very kind. If you take one more step, probably he will not take for a devotee, because devotee, he has to surrender more and he reciprocates less. That is his trick. You know? If a knowledgeable devotee is trying to sacrifice, Krishna ignores him. Do more. Because you have capacity to do more. Do it. Is Swarat. He knows how to play exactly. But that is also a reciprocation. Externally you may think it's a negative. But if that devotee is serious, I said, okay, my dear Lord, my life is in your hands. I have offered already, not simply externally, but by my mind, words and ego also I'm surrendering to you. Krishna doesn't have to reciprocate to understand the reciprocation. Because we are accustomed to see the mercy of the Lord only physically, not internally. You ask any Gujarati in India, you know, if you ask, how are you? He says, oh, Thakur Ji is merciful. Then he has that pan, you know, then he says, this is called mercy. He's eating Mahaprasad, he can't swallow the whole thing. And he's spitting out the mercy. That's joke. Good. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.
Jai.